Hello, everyone. My name is David Smith, and this is the Armchair Commentary. On this week's episode, Steve and I are breaking down the week that was in the NFL, plus a couple of signings that happened in the NBA for our Toronto Raptors. If you'd like to follow me on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, it's at Armchair Commentary, at Armchair Comment 2. Follow Steve on Twitter at SteveSteele23 or on Instagram at SteveSteele22. If you're able to support this podcast either through merch or monetarily, you can head over to TeePublic, search Armchair Commentary, or you can head over to patreon.com/armchaircommentary. We'd love to give you a shout out in future episodes. If you can do it, we appreciate it. If you can't, listening is a huge part of helping us out, and we appreciate everyone for taking time out of their day. Without further ado, Valhalla awaits. It's another week for our American listeners. It's Thanksgiving weekend, Black Friday weekend, and truly the ultimate kickoff of the holidays for Canadians. It's Thursday, and we're hanging out doing our normal thing. Steve and I are back. Week 11 in the NFL happened. Some NBA signings happened that we want to get to. I want to start off with the Thursday night game, which was actually for once a good the real one, the last, not this Thursday, not tonight. Oh, the Steelers and Ravens, who got canceled, and the Steelers got real mad about it. Well, we can talk about that. What'd you think about that? Obviously it has to be canceled, COVID, but they're
I don't know who tested positive for COVID or what happened. I heard the Steelers were upset about it. I don't understand why the Steelers are upset about it, but I thought nobody
was playing my games. This is what I've gathered from my serious amount of no research is J.K. Dobbins and another whoever the other running back is, like the other starting running back in Baltimore, tested positive for COVID literally after their Sunday game. The NFL decided to postpone 2 to 4 business days because and that's a tweet, that's not my tweet. Someone said someone tests positive for COVID, apparently they'll be like, oh, okay, it'll be good in 2 to 4 business days. It's not the case at all, but they decided that they're going to push the game to Sunday instead of today. Today being Thursday, of course. And the Steelers are upset because they've done everything right in terms of following protocols, not getting caught with a whole bunch of guys.
I'm seeing it now.
And Juju is mad.
Juju Smith-Schuster said, first NFL takes away our bye week, which, by the way, is a legitimate gripe because another team can't get their COVID situation together. Now they take away our Thanksgiving primetime game for the same reason. Sounds like Juju Schuster-Smith when you think about any Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver being upset he's not going to get to play in primetime. I'm gonna tell the Steelers to go F themselves on this one, and I don't care. This is irrelevant. You're 9-0 because you're playing a soft schedule, and you all think you're better than you are. So, like, when you lose the first good team you play against outside the Baltimore Ravens, which you might still lose to, although the Ravens look terrible lately, so I won't put money on that.
And they'll have a whole bunch of people that won't be playing, so their running attack will be off. I don't remember who they're starting at running back for this game, but it's no one you remember. I mean, it's someone you might remember, but it's no one that anyone's going to have in fantasy. I'll tell you that much. It's going to be an ugly game. I'm just saying right now, it's going to be an ugly game.
Every Ravens game is an ugly game. The Ravens suck. Can we just say the Ravens suck?
We can say
it. Yeah. Of course you can say it. The Colts losing to the Ravens may be the most embarrassing thing about this season. We lost the Browns this year, so I don't take that lightly when I say that. Shout out to Jason, who checked me this week about making jokes about the Browns probably backing into the playoffs. He then predicted that they were going to go to the Super Bowl behind Nick Chubb, and my response was, you shouldn't drink this early in the morning because I believe it was 10 a.m. But we shall see. if the Browns make the Super Bowl, I'll make it up to them somehow.
I'm pretty sure Baltimore is running out Gus Edwards at running back as the starting running back. Ingram's out.
Oh.
J.K. Dobbins is out. So Gus Edwards is going to be their starting back. I just don't see it. I don't see Baltimore. Baltimore hasn't been good for 3 weeks. They almost hung in there against the Titans until they gave up a touchdown run to Derrick Henry. He was literally the only guy on that team you have to watch. There's one guy on that team you have to watch all game long. Just watch the one guy. Everything else will fall into place. And who's the one guy you let go in overtime? Henry. Come on.
Our guy, you're needing treatment, made a video where he called them their, he called Derrick Henry Baltimore's father. And you might, you might have to agree with him since he continues to just run amok on that. That Ravens team sucks. I'm so embarrassed the Colts lost to them. Like, especially the way we lost, we were dominating them and then a weird fumble. And then everything just like the Colts are really hit and miss. Like, they tend to be really good, but if something goes against them, they tend to fall apart. And that's what happened there. Anyway,
yeah, quick mistakes. The Cardinals Seahawks played last Thursday in what was, I'm going to assume, the only good Thursday night game we're going to get this whole year. And the Seahawks defense played defense for one quarter and it mattered. They played
game,
just
though.
Enough defense. It was a good game. They played just enough defense. Kyler Murray still had a chance at the end to win the thing. I mean, it was competitive the whole way through. I have no issues with either of these teams. I think we'll probably, I'm hoping we'll see them in the playoffs, cause that would be an excellent, playoff matchup. I'm assuming we will. I'm hoping that the schedule kind of allows for that. I don't know if we'll be able to see two NFC West teams play each other, but it was a good game. Do you feel better about the Seahawks defense yet?
No.
Or are you still,
no,
are
no,
they
I
still
don't.
Soft as anything?
I mean, they still gave up like almost 30 points. So like, it's not like we're here champion. Like, look, the Colts gave up 30 to Green Bay, which is not something I'm proud of considering I put our defense over. But I think modern NFL giving up 30 is just the norm for defenses. I don't know, man. I still don't think the Seahawks defense is going to let them win anything, and Russ has to play perfect every game for them to win against good teams. And I don't know, like, as good as Russ is, I don't know if he's capable of being perfect game in and game out, especially on the road.
Yeah. Are the Cowboys going to win the NFC East? Because the Eagles lost to the Browns in an...
No, I keep saying it. The Giants are going to win the NFC East. I don't know why nobody's listening to me. Like, just the ultimate, like, I know Patriots fans just refuse to acknowledge the Giants' existence. So the Cowboys have come back and taken a 10-7 lead over the Washington Redacteds. But, no. I'm sticking with it. The Giants are going to win the NFC East, and it's going to be the most hilarious thing ever, because about 6-7 weeks ago, I didn't think they were going to win a football game. So good for them, man. The Giants all the way.
And the Eagles are on their way out, right? Like, we're...
Yeah, the Eagles on their way out. The Cowboys just lost their left tackle and their right tackle. So I don't...
Good luck protecting Andy Dalton, yes.
Yeah, and they were struggling to protect quarterbacks anyway. So, I think Maradona's got a better chance of coming back to life and doing a line and banging a hooker than the Cowboys to win in this division. Hey, for the record, rest in peace, Diego Maradona. Yeah, one of the greatest football players of all time, slash soccer, I should say. But I will forever put him over as, like, a notorious, like, drug fiend and poon hound, I guess is the best way to say it. Like, he was who he was. He died at 60. It's sad, albeit not on unexpected. I assumed he would be dead by... I thought he was 50. No surprise he was still alive. Either way, Shouts to a legend. Rest in peace, the god. You know, he's somewhere right now in a better place with Pablo Escobar, like, living his best life one more time. And he probably looks like he did in 1986 instead of how he looked recently. So, I mean, kudos to Diego Maradona.
My Patriots looked exactly as they should against the awful Texans, but your Colts looked very good against a Packers team for the most part.
We won. I don't care as long as we win. I don't care how good we look or what bad we look. The Packers are a good team outside of those two games against the Vikings and the Bucks, where they kind of like...
They're a three-loss team, and they've only had two of their three losses were, like, ugly. The rest of their games, they've looked fine.
Yeah, like something collapsed against the Bucks, and they just never got it back together. Kind of similar to what happened to the Colts, but, like, in the Vikings game, Dalvin Cook just came back and ran all over them. But, like... I expect the Packers to probably win out the rest of the season and be fine. And they're a legit contender to win the NFC, I think. Like, I feel like they could win the NFC very easily. My big disappointment this week is the Miami Dolphins. They hurt me deeply with that loss to Denver. I don't know what – I was on the bandwagon. I was leading the cheers. I was doing it all. And then they lose to the Broncos, and now you're dead to me. I hope the Bills win the division easily and hope you don't make the playoffs. Yeah, how are you going to lose to the Broncos? I mean, I know the Patriots.
The Broncos are very bad. No, the Broncos are bad, and they benched Tua at some point, and it was like
they benched him going in the fourth quarter, and Fitzpatrick threw it.
Oh, I heard our friend over at the Sportsocracy, Jeremy, called him Fitz Tragic, I think. Maybe it wasn't him, maybe it was someone else. But
Urinating Tree calls him Fitzception. I like Fitzception a lot because whenever there's a big moment coming, an interception's coming. So that's why I like Fitzception.
I don't remember who called it. I don't remember. I might be giving improper credit here, but whoever said it, thank you.
Yeah, if Jeremy, that sounds like a Jeremy line from our conversation with him. Fitz Tragic definitely rings to that. So yeah, Fitz Tragic, yeah.
I mean, do the Jets like scoring points and giving their team hope for no reason? Also, Keenan Allen's good at football.
Well, I mean, Keenan Allen's been good at football. I mean, what's there to say about the Jets? They're 0-10. They have a minus 153 point differential.
I know.
Then, oddly enough, I think the team in second in that. Oh my God. Oh no. The Jaguars at 1-9. And then third place is the Cowboys at minus 83. By the way, I'd like to point out that the entire NFC East is a minus. Win loss differential. Yep. Minus 34, minus 41, minus 83, and minus 27. Oddly enough, the last place for Dak Nets have the best point differential. But yes, the Giants are still winning. Damn it. Go Giants. I know it's that bad that I'm cheering for the Giants. Like, I mean, well, I feel pretty confident that we're gonna win the division. I think we're gonna pants the Titans again. So yes. I'm feeling pretty good. Oddly enough, we play the Titans on Sunday. So if we pants them again, it's pretty much our division to win. We still got two games against the Texans and a game against the Jaguars. Oh, and a game against the Steelers. Maybe not. I don't know.
I want to talk about the Detroit Lions in a minute, but the Bucs losing again to the Rams, which I thought they would. Jared Goff doing that thing where he pretends to be an NFL quarterback. He does it for about 8 games a year.
No, saying he's not an NFL quarterback when guys
he's an
like
NFL quarterback. No, yeah, he is an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, okay. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying he's an elite NFL quarterback, but saying he's not an NFL quarterback is really
okay.
Harsh.
He pretends to be an elite NFL quarterback.
There you go. That one, I'll co-sign that statement. All right, that's fine. Yeah,
His receivers will carry him a lot, and he's got a live by the sword die. Like, they're a lot like a home run hitting team. There's a lot of like big plays, and if they don't happen, there's not really much to do anymore. There's not Todd Gurley running the ball as much. He's in Atlanta dying. Four running backs that they don't know how to use properly. It just the whole offense is kind of crazy. And a friend of mine is a big Bucs fan, and he was like, I can't wait till the Bucs win this game by 40. And I said, I think you're actually going to lose. And he said, really? And I said, yeah, it's a total trap game. This is exactly the kind of stuff that Brady does. He looks like he's going to win and then doesn't.
Wait, hold on. Sure, well, let's not – you condemn the 7-3 Rams as a trap game? Like, I don't know about that.
Well, they're 7-3 now. They were 6-3, and they've had a couple of tough games. The Rams are going to win games because of who they play.
Let's see their schedule. They've beaten the Cowboys, the Eagles, lost the Bills, beat the Giants, beat the Redacteds, lost to the 49ers before the Niners seasons came apart, beat the Bears, lost the Dolphins, beat the Seahawks, then beat the Bucks.
Yes.
And they get the Niners again.
This is what I'm saying. They will get wins. They will absolutely get wins. I don't know if the strength of this schedule is as good as some others.
They're gonna have a 3-game winning streak because they're gonna beat the Niners. Then they got the Cardinals in Arizona. We'll see how that goes. Then they get you guys. They're gonna beat the pants off the Patriots. Then they get the Jets. They'll beat the pants off the Patriots and the Jets. Then they get the Seahawks again, and then they get the Cardinals. So yeah, they could be a 10-6 team.
So to be fair, like, I'm not saying they're a bad team. I just think they're okay. But people look at them and they're like, they're a fantasy football player's dream because it's a lot of like long passes and wide receivers can go off. Wide receivers can also famine. Like, there is a lot of weapons there, and you never know what's going to happen. So the Buccaneers are doing Buccaneer things, and I kind of love it. I love every second of it. Loss is just another, it's another
reminder.
Cap. I love it.
Yeah, I'm not going to go on Tom Brady again this week. He stunk this week again, and I'm not surprised. Maybe someone else is. I'm definitely not. I've been preaching this for a while. So shout out to Tom Brady's interceptions.
Dink and dunker.
He looked terrible again at home. So, yeah.
I mean, I know. There's a couple of other games that happened the Redacteds beat the Bengals, but more importantly, Joe Burrow done for the year and probably next.
No, he'll be back next year, I think. There's enough time for him to recover from that.
I mean, he got his ACL and his MCL are done.
I know, and he's young, and his sports sciences, he'll probably be back by week three or four next year, I'd say.
All right. I think he might be done for 2 years. It's a 12-month recovery.
Oof.
It's 9 to 12 months. We're already November, so I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I disagree with you.
9 months from November. August. I'm gonna stick with the week three to four. Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm gonna have a prediction. Yeah.
I want to talk about the. No offense to our Viking fans. You're done pretending, and the Chiefs are exactly who we thought they are, except for the Raiders. I guess are a little better than predicted.
The Raiders look pretty good. Shout out to John Gruden. He's doing a great job. He can't keep COVID in line there, but he's doing good things scheme wise and player wise.
When do the Lions fire Matt Patricia?
Last season. That's when they should have. Actually, let's retroactive that. They should never have fired Jim Caldwell, who I hated, by the way, as a Colts coach. But that's how bad Matt Patricia is. That like Jim Caldwell was like an elite head coach. Matt Patricia shouldn't have a job in the NFL. The fact that he still does is offensive. They're awful. They're god awful. They lost to a Panthers team with no Teddy Bridgewater or Christian McCaffrey, and not only lost, got beat 24-0 by an XFL player. Like they're god awful. He was a defensive coordinator. Matt Patricia should be made to walk the plank. He's actually worse than Adam Gase.
Well, so he gave up 24 points. Is it 20-0 or 24-0?
24-0.
Okay, so this week it's 41-25
to the Texans, who are a better team than a Bridgewater, McCaffrey, less Panthers.
Yes, but what I'm saying is, if you're a defensive mastermind, you should not give up 41 points to anyone.
Well, he's not a defensive mastermind. He was just Bill's flunky. But yeah, I agree. I as a defensive coordinator, former defensive coordinator, defensive-minded head coach, you know, you shouldn't be giving up 41 points, especially to a team as beleaguered as the Texans. That said, I want to give credit to Carolina, actually, because I think their head coach, whoever he is, I don't know his name right now, I can't think of it, but like that team comes to play every week. They don't have a ton of talent, and they're banged up really badly, but those guys are in almost every game or winning. So I like Carolina. They're not good, but I like them. I don't know who Carolina is. Let's check. Either way, he has those guys ready to play every week, no matter what. And I think he is going to be a very Matt Rhule. Yeah. I think that team is going to be very successful in the very near future. Like not this season, obviously.
Considering how well they're playing for what they are.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're probably in line for like an upswing. You're going to see them in a good position.
Honestly, given how banged up and badly depleted they are and everything else, like I would vote for that guy for coach of the year. Cause like they may be losing and they're only like, well, I think they're 4-6 or 4-7 or something like that. But like, they're not getting the brakes beaten off them. They're hanging in most games. They have had a few bad losses, but like, I think they lost pretty bad to Tampa, but Tampa's loaded. Absolutely.
Tampa should be beating people like that.
Yeah, of course. And like Carolina shows up every week and plays hard and gives it their all and generally hangs around and steals a few. So like I like the Panthers. Credit to Matt Rhule. I just wanted to give someone like random thing credit. Beating the Lions 24-0. Like I assume the Lions walked in that game, assumed they were gonna dust them. Dust them. Because let's be honest, the Lions had playoff implications in that game. Like
they would have been 4-5.
Yeah, that would have made them 5-5, which in the NFC right now with the expanded playoff format is a playoff situation. Yeah. Like they're
4-7 after a week and a half. They're 4-7.
Yeah,
so they went into that Carolina game thinking we can make the playoffs. They've got, if you look at that schedule on paper and you're the Lions, you think we've got a Texans team that's running on fumes, with a very good quarterback. I'm not going to pretend that Deshaun's not a great quarterback, but. And you've got Carolina in front of you, and Carolina isn't any, like, they're not world beaters by any stretch. And then you get curb stomped by Carolina. You didn't even score a single point. You didn't kick a field goal. You didn't get close enough to put 3 points on the board. I need to explain, guys kick field goals from 50 yards out. You didn't get close enough to put up three?
He did have one shank wide. Well,
that's even worse. That's even worse. Like
oddly enough, ESPN Detroit Lions, after another embarrassing loss, it's time for the Detroit Lions to let Matt Patricia go.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It was time last year. It probably wasn't time any point this year to keep him.
Well, wasn't last year his first full season, or was the second full season?
No, it's a second full season.
Stephen A. and Max think the Lions owe Caldwell and fans an apology. I would agree with both of those statements, since I just made those things. I just said both of those things. Hopefully they just rehired Jim Caldwell. He had them trending in the right direction. I don't know what the hell they were thinking and why they brought in that fat moron, but they did. And I hope Matt Patricia go coaches Pop Warner somewhere when COVID clears up, because that's where he belongs. This guy is not an NFL head coach.
No, he's not. Looking ahead to this week, we've got a lot of stinkers on the line, but also some good games. Your Colts and the Titans, I think, is probably one of the marquee games.
That's the game I'll be watching with all eyes on. So, yeah, that one's not a stinker for me. Maybe
Pittsburgh's going to trounce Baltimore, I think.
I don't know that. I
feel confident in that, because I don't think
Baltimore's I feel like with Pittsburgh's soft schedule, we've kind of anointed them really early. Like, they've had, other than the win against the Ravens and the Titans, which they should have won the game against the Titans, by the way. The Steelers team's schedule, like, if you look at their wins, they beat the Giants, the Broncos, the Texans, the Eagles, the Browns, okay, fair, the Titans, the Ravens, the Cowboys, the Bengals, the Jaguars, they get the Ravens again, then they play the Redacteds, the Bills would be a great game for them, the Bengals, okay, they get another win, then they play us, and then they play in Cleveland. Like, this Steelers team could still lose three or four games, and Captain Fatfuck,
yes,
you never know, right? Like, it could happen, and Captain Fatfuck, of course, being Ben.
I need to be clear, I do not want the Steelers to go undefeated. I'm not a fan of Big Ben. I'm fine with them losing
games. I highly doubt they're going to go undefeated.
I also highly doubt they're going to go undefeated. Kansas City, Tampa.
I expect that to be a backbreaker for Tampa. I think that's going to be like their overrated game where everyone trashes them and pronounces them dead because they've lost two in a row. Or wouldn't this be three in a row? No, because they'd be Carolina in between. They lost three or four in between. Yeah, they'll lose three or four if that goes.
Yeah, like
left.
There's some pretty, like, there's, I don't know, there's a few games here that scare me, like New Orleans playing Denver. Denver could be an upset here. I don't think it's going to happen. I think New Orleans should walk there. San Francisco and LA, that should be an easy win for the Rams. The Raiders are playing the Falcons, so I think that's an easy one for the Raiders. You have your NFC East champ proclamation playing the Bungles, so that should be a 4-7. They may take the division lead. Dallas doesn't win this game, they may take, you may be right here. Listen, the Redacteds and the Cowboys, someone's going to lose there, right?
So yeah, it's tense. I'm watching it. I'm not watching it. I'm concentrating on recording the show, but what I am watching is this ticker on ESPN. It's 10-10 of the second quarter. This game is going on as soon as this podcast is done recording. I can't wait to watch the Tank Bowl. Like, this is where I'm at. Yeah.
So if we look at that, so let's say it doesn't matter who gets the win here, because they're both 3-7. So if someone's going to 4-7, but if the Giants win against Cincinnati, which they should, let's be honest, they should. Cincinnati just got dealt a huge blow there. I don't know if they're able to recover from that.
Oh, the Bungles are dead. They're dead.
The Giants recover again. Let's say the Giants get the win. That'll make the Giants win. They'll put them on a 3-game winning streak, which is ridiculous to say at 4-7. And they would actually, if the Redacteds win, the Giants would be in first place in the division. I believe they beat the Redacteds. I think that's their only other win.
I mean, I don't know. The Redacteds right now are a heck of tight. The Redacteds are – oh, so you're talking about somebody else. I thought you were talking about the Redacteds and the Cowboys right now, who are 10-10. That looks like a burn burner. Alex Smith versus Andy Dalton in 2020 is the quarterback matchup that I do not need to see but can't wait to watch.
Shout out
to Alex Smith, though.
Yeah, they beat the Redacteds. So if the Redacteds win this game against the Cowboys and the Giants beat the Bengals on Sunday, that puts the Giants in first place in the NFC East.
The Giants are going to win. I don't know why we're laughing. Like, I'm not saying this is a bold take.
It's a 4-7 because it's a 4-7 team that's going to win the division. And it's
we've lamented the NFC East's tragic numbers. Like, I said, this team could possibly, the division could be won by a 4-12 team. It looks like it's probably going to be a 6-10 team. And I mean, 6-10. I mean, didn't like the Seattle Seahawks win the NFC West with a 7-9 once? I'm pretty confident they did.
I believe so.
Like,
is that a Hasselbeck?
Yeah, it was the year beat. No, I think it might be. It was the Beast Mode run against New Orleans when New Orleans was reigning Super Bowl champion. That they were 7-9 that year. So like under 500 and 500 teams winning divisions is not that uncommon. I think in 2005 the Rams won the division at 8-8. Now I get there's a big long road between 6-8 and 8-8 or 6-10 and 8-8, but like I'm pretty sure 6-10 teams have won divisions before.
Yes, of course they have. Of course they have. It's just not. It's just not very good. It just looks ugly. It's just.
It does look ugly.
Listen, I have very little looking forward for the rest of this football season. My team is
okay.
A trash fire this year. It's the first time in 20 years they've been a trash fire. Unfortunately, that means that I have to divert my attention elsewhere to help me be less mournful of my team. And there's no better place to do that than the NFC East.
See, as a person that says teams suck really badly a couple times, I don't mind my team being bad because it generally means we're going to draft somebody, and I'm really excited about that.
Like I know. Here's the problem.
A couple years ago, when we stunk, we got Quentin Nelson.
Something. I know. I'm terrified that Bill's going to do something Bill-like and something stupid. I hope he lets the dog draft.
Dude, we had Ryan Grigson as our GM. Don't talk about stupid GMs, okay? Like I know pain. So I looked this up, the list of the worst division winners of all time, in order. From 1948, the Buffalo Bills won the AAFC East at 7-7, but that was before like color television, so that doesn't count. So we'll jump to 1985. The Cleveland Browns went 8-8. In 2008, the Chargers went 8-8 and beat the Colts in the wild card round. I remember that game. I contemplated suicide afterwards. Anyway, the Seahawks in 7-9 in 2010, won wild card round versus New Orleans, lost divisional round versus Chicago. 2011, Denver Broncos. This is the Tebow guys. 8-8, won the wild card, lost against New England really badly. And then 2014, Carolina Panthers went 7-8-1, won wild card versus round versus Arizona, lost divisional round versus Seattle. So not only have these teams actually bad teams made the playoffs, they generally win. The last four have all won their wild card or divisional round games, or all won their wild card rounds. So, I mean, here's my bold take. The Giants are going to win a playoff game, too. That's my bold take.
I mean, I'm all right with it. To be honest, I'm kind of rooting for them at this point.
Like, well, because they were the class clown of the division for a minute there, and they've slowly the division's so bad they played themselves back in. I love it. I love the energy of the Giants being like a 6-10 division winner when nobody gave them, as soon as Saquon went down, no one gave the Giants a chance in hell at anything, and here they are, very close to clinching this division. And go Giants, go. Go Daniel Jones. Maybe don't trip on those long runs. You're fast. Keep running fast. That's all I hope for. And I don't know, man. Anything but the Cowboys. If any team from the NFC East other than the Cowboys wins, I'm happy. I just don't want the Cowboys to win. That's all.
The only other game that I have a ton of intrigue about, I think, this week is the Chargers and Bills. And the only reason I say that is it's Justin Herbert, Josh Allen. Both are mobile and good quarterbacks. The Chargers have been real close a whole lot. I don't think they're as bad as their record denounces. Like, are they really a 3-7 team? Are they?
Not sure, to be honest. Like, let's run it back here. So, like, let's go through their schedule. Like, bring up the schedule.
Yeah, I'm bringing it up now.
Yeah.
I think that this Charger team is better. That's the only reason I'm saying is I think that they're not nearly as bad as everybody is. I mean, they're a 3-7 team. So yes, of course they haven't won the games and that's a problem, but they beat the Bengals. Makes sense. They lost 23-20 to the Chiefs. That was Herbert's first start. They lost 21-16 to the Panthers. I think that was a lot closer. I think that was like a last second.
Most Chargers games are close, actually, so yes. That's not really surprising.
38-31 to the Buccaneers.
By the way, before we go any further, the Chargers have actually pulled the same thing the Falcons are famous for two or three times this season. No one gives them any stuff because they're not the Falcons. So I get, like, I'm hearing it, like, are the Chargers better than their record indicates? Maybe, but they're not good. I don't know if they're a good 3-7. Probably doesn't help. Their division's brutal. Yeah.
I mean, they almost beat the Saints, too. 30-27, they lost.
Yeah, they have the worst special teams in football. So that's where a lot of times it comes down and they lose.
Yeah, and they lost by 4 to the Raiders, by 1 to the Broncos, 8 to the Dolphins, beat the Jets.
Well, I mean, everyone beats the Jets.
I know.
You and I beat the Jets. You and I beat the Jets in week 3. Just no one knows about it.
I know. Unfortunately, they don't have an easy schedule. Their schedule is ass. They've got the Bills this week, Patriots, which they could likely win.
See, Chargers-Bills is a trap game. That is a trap game for the Bills.
Yes, 100% a trap game for the Bills. The Chargers could win out, could win 3 in a row and then lose the last 3 of the season.
Yeah.
Because they've got the Bills, the Patriots, the Falcons. Those are 3 very winnable games.
Mm-hmm.
2 very winnable games and a game that could surprise someone on, I'll say. Then they've got the Raiders, Broncos, and Chiefs. And depending on what the Broncos are doing, 2 of those 3 I see as losses. Division games are weird, though. Division games are always weird. Like, how many times did, like, a overly powerful Patriots team go down to Miami and lose? To, like, a nearly winless Dolphins team. I'll give you a hint. It's almost every time. Literally like clockwork. Almost every time.
It's a shame the Bucks aren't going to Miami this year. It really is.
I know.
I would have enjoyed that. Yeah, no. I mean, the Dolphins have had your guys' number forever. Yes. Ever.
Yep.
Ever.
They have. I have no interest in this Monday night game. Seattle is going to own Philadelphia.
Yeah. Oh, I mean.
There. Yeah. And the Sunday night game is Green Bay and Chicago, which I'd like to say is going to be competitive, but it's not. It's not. Green Bay's going to win that game. The Bears are, I mean, they're a 5-5 team, but I don't know if they're even a good 5-5 team. I think they're going to lose. So, anything else from the world of the NFL that we missed? I don't think so.
We talked about Joe Burrow's injury. Yeah, no. I mean, the COVIDs keep hitting the NFL in the chest, but I mean, things are progressing as planned. So, I mean, anyone
cares more about money? Yes, we know.
Well, I mean, all professional sports care about money. The NBA is trying to come back with fans in attendance too.
Yeah.
So,
on the NBA front, there wasn't a whole lot that happened outside of what we covered last week, but we did have one significant signing for our guys, FVV, Fred VanVleet.
Well, let's talk about the Raptors in general, what happened so far.
Sure.
The Raptors re-signed Fred VanVleet, 4 years, $86 million, if I'm not mistaken.
Which is,
I think it's a contract.
Which is
a great deal.
When that deal happened, I'm pretty sure I said, this is a great deal, is it not?
Yeah, it is. The only people that don't think it's a good deal are hockey fans who are used to hockey salary cap and freak out when they see $86 million in 4 years. It's a light contract. I expected him to get $25 to $30 million a year. So I'm extremely excited that he settled for, I think, 20.5 or 20.7, I think it is, per year it works out. Maybe 21. I don't really know. Anyway, moral of the story is we re-signed Fred VanVleet and we re-signed Chris Boucher because Serge Ibaka signed with the Clippers. Yep. Which I do not begrudge. I'm not going to miss Serge Ibaka, to be honest with you.
I like Serge.
He played well this year. He played well this year for us down the stretch. I think this is his best year in Toronto. But he was so hit and miss, and I'm not going to miss him. Gasol, who said he was going to go back and play in Spain, apparently signed with the Lakers. So I'm not going to miss Marc Gasol at all.
Marc Gasol looked his age a lot on the restart.
Yeah, he's not going to play much in L.A. They're going to see how slow he is off the dribble, and guys beat him off the dribble all the time, and he's going to be riding the bench soon.
I like Serge, but I like Serge, like, in doses. I wasn't crying for Serge every 20 minutes. I'm really interested. There's a lot of young guys on that Raptors team that are, like, that need to take a step and learn some things. I want to see Boucher get more time. He had, like, spurts. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Boucher is going to be just fine to getting more minutes. I think he deserves more minutes. He got a pretty healthy deal for considering how much we've seen him. Like,
yeah. But is that not the Raptors' MO in a lot of ways? We also signed, I think we signed Alex Len, someone else, to fill the center.
We signed Aaron Baines as well. Aaron Baines, we signed. We signed him to a 2-year $13.5 million contract. So that's awesome. Good for him, man. Canadian guy. hope he does well. I really want him to do well. Great defender, great energy, makes me happy. Made me really sad when he was on the bench for Gasol to like drag his carcass around the court. So I'm looking for big things for Boucher. I don't know how good we're going to be. It seems that weird fantasy booking deal of James Harden going to Brooklyn is definitely not happening because he's still a Houston Rocket. I don't think Houston can get what they want for him, so they're just going to ride it out and see if someone's more desperate at the trade deadline.
Well, you heard that they wanted either Kyrie or KD in return.
Well, yeah, I mean that's a fair request. I would say that's a fair request. But the problem is those two made a bond to play with one another. So if you trade one of them is going to be unhappy. I personally would definitely trade Kyrie Irving for James Harden without question, without blinking an eye. I would do that. But
Go ahead.
I wouldn't trade Kevin Durant's fecal matter for James Harden, but I would definitely trade Kyrie Irving for, James Harden. That's it.
A podcast that we follow on Instagram, Guy and a Girl Talk Sports, actually had it in their stories. They said, you had to trade either one for Harden. Who would you trade? And the poll was hilarious because it was like 100 something votes and like 92% was Kyrie. And I think the other 8% are KD haters that don't understand what KD is.
If you're a KD hater, you don't know anything about basketball. I hate the guy.
But that's,
I hate him.
Well, of course. But personally, he chased rings. And people don't like his – I guess they don't love his personality. But we're also talking about the same people that love his You the Real MVP when he was all teary-eyed.
Let's be clear about Kevin Durant's allegations of chasing rings, which is he's very guilty of. I will not dispute that. But you don't think what LeBron James is doing with the Lakers, with Clutch Sports and everything else right now, isn't the same thing? Like,
I absolutely do.
Miami and Cleveland and the way he gutted those two franchises in order to like build a team that he could win with. Like, chasing rings is like, yeah, he went and joined other superpowers, but like LeBron James did go and join Dwayne Wade, who was an MVP caliber player when he went and signed with him. It's like people love to throw like the shade at Kevin Durant, and I'm one of those people. I don't like Kevin Durant, but like let's not accuse Kevin Durant of things that other players aren't full heartedly guilty of, like LeBron James, for example. Now,
I also think it's a lot easier in today's NBA for guys to move like that. You wouldn't see like how often in like the 80s NBA. I'm defaulting to you on this because this is way out of my wheelhouse, more into yours. How often in the 80s did we see like major blockbuster trades?
Never really. Like if guys got traded in the 80s, even to extent the 90s, was usually like malcontent usually the cause behind it. Like a fight in the locker room, like wild coke problems, things like that nature. Like the biggest trade I can think of was the Detroit Pistons made, which kind of set up the Bad Boys, was they traded Adrian Dantley for Mark Aguirre, and Adrian Dantley's like was one of the 50 greatest basketball players of all time. He doesn't make that list anymore, but at the time he was a big, big deal, and they traded him for Aguirre, and it actually improved the team, and they went on to win because Dantley felt he wasn't getting the ball enough, and he was clashing with Isaiah. So that's like the only time I could think of in the 80s where a big, big star got dealt. Nothing like today. The modern free agency is a joke. Like LeBron James and those guys in 2010 ruined the NBA as far as free agency goes. Like I get the NBA. I've said this a thousand times. I'd rather the players have more power than the owners, but I think NBA players have too much power, and like Clutch Sports is constant tampering and making guys. But then again, who doesn't want to live in LA and play in LA? So it makes sense. Like I get it all, but like LeBron's like corruption of the system, with like Clutch Sports and everything else, what's happening right now, and getting all of his own clients on his team, and it's clear tampering going on, but it's not being done by the organization. It's being done by players. So it's okay. I don't know. I think LeBron's legacy should be tarnished with it. If we're going to throw shade at KD, we should definitely throw shade at LeBron too, is the point I'm trying to make.
I'm just saying if you were a power player in the 90s and you wanted a ring, you had to hope that you guys were going to get good. You had to hope that the management was going to bring someone in, right? Like you weren't lobbying for your best. We're also seeing like the other thing that we're seeing now more than we did in the 80s and 90s is guys from opposing teams training together a lot.
Well, that happened back then too. That happened back then too, but people didn't have phone cameras and stuff, right?
Like, yes,
that's a big thing. I mean, like, if you think about it, the parity of the NBA has really kind of always been the same. Like, in the 80s, the Sixers, the Celtics, the Lakers, and the Pistons won the title. That's it. Nobody else won one. The 90s, the Pistons, the Bulls, the Rockets, and the Spurs, the end of the decade. Four teams once again. The 2000s, you got the Spurs, the Pistons, the Lakers, the Celtics. Four teams once again. The 2010s, you got the Heat, the Warriors, the Cavs, the Spurs, and the Raptors. We got five in that decade, so there you go. That's a very stretchy decade. So the five. Yeah, I'm just establishing a baseline to like make it like seem right. And obviously that is kind of thrown off by the LeBron hopping, right? The two teams.
Of course.
The Miami and Cleveland. Oh, did I say Cleveland as well? Cleveland won in 2016. I think I left Cleveland. So it's actually six teams, but you can adjust for that with the LeBron hop. So yeah. I mean, because he played on three teams and or two teams in that well, he actually played on three teams in the last decade. So, but the Lakers in the last year of the decade didn't make the playoffs. So, yeah, like, I don't know. Like, the parity in the NBA, it's always been that way. Like, it's been that way as long as I can remember watching basketball. It just so happens guys stack the deck more than they used to. But back then, it used to just be, like, you know, dynasty-level teams, and now it's just more, like, guys jump and stack teams more than they used to.
I have no issue with it. As long as I get to watch good basketball, I don't really care. I want my team to do well. And, you know, it happened once. That was cool. I don't know the next time it'll happen. I think that Kawhi did a lot for Toronto. I think that, Kyle has done a lot for Toronto, but I don't know if it'll ever be like, it's obviously, if you're given the choice between living in LA, living in Toronto, you're from the Southern US, even like the Midwest states, you're probably going to pick LA over Toronto.
I would pick LA over Toronto. Like, and most I'm a Raptors fan. Yeah. Like, most I mean, people. If you're like, all right, you got two offers here, Steve, you can go play for the OKC Thunder or you can play for the Lakers. I'm like, I'm going to play for the Lakers. Like, it's just the way it is. Like, and like the only team I would look at over the Lakers would be Miami.
Sure. That makes sense. People liked Houston because of the tax breaks, but.
Well, yeah, and Florida's a no state tax as well, so that's why I would look at my. Also, Miami like speaks to a part of my soul, but like, yeah, the Lakers, Miami are like the two premier like free agency franchise like destinations for most people. You want to live in either of those two states.
Yeah,
nobody's like, man, I can't wait to live in Indianapolis, Indiana. You know what I mean? Like, or Milwaukee.
It doesn't happen very often. Before we get out of here, I just want to let you know that my favorite thing on Twitter right now is on the what's happening side. It says football team at Cowboys, and that's funny to me.
I think they should just call them. Oh, redacted's up 17-10 going into the first half. Here we go, let's baby. Go. Here we go. Actually, before we get out of here, let's check if Skip Bayless is fully imploded yet. That's my favorite thing about Cowboys losses is Skip Bayless's Twitter. I follow Skip just for this moment. 9 tweets in the last hour from Skip. Nightmarish. So your $90 million running back can't get a foot on fourth down. Just makes me tired. Obvious pass interference on Darby. Unreal. Now D-Law limps off the field. Injury gods are saying, not today, Dallas. Need a turnover now. Time for a defense to quit feeling sorry for itself and snap out of it and get after Alex Smith. What a throw by Andy Dalton in all capital letters 38 minutes ago. That must have been the 54-yard touchdown pass.
Oh, man.
Predictably, once team leader Zach Martin went down and out, the defense lost its edge and fight and pass rush and let Washington march for the go-ahead TD. It's going to be another long day and night. I'd actually gotten excited about the Cowboys being in the – I want to see the polarity of that. So that was 46 minutes ago, 58 minutes ago. I'd actually gotten excited about the Cowboys being in the driver's seat to win this awful division. The O-line had gelled with Zach Martin, now moving to right tackle now. Oh, here we go. So I'm going to start here because this is fun. Now, the 2020 Dallas Cowboys will show us what they're made of, men or mice. This is the arch rival who embarrassed them 1 month ago on national TV, a bunch of America watching, Thanksgiving first place at stake. Show us, in capital letters. A few minutes later, I believe the Cowboys will beat the Washington in a low-scoring, hard-fought game. Now, that's the way to start a football game. And then, I give up. This season is just not meant to be. The Cowboys have just lost left tackle Cam Irving and now right tackle Zach Martin. This is all in caps, by the way. The best O-lineman in the NFL, this versus a Washington front loaded with first-round picks, including Chase Young, just not fair. And then I read everything else. And then that like was, 10 minutes later. And then 10 minutes later, what a throw by Andy Dalton. Like, oh, God. Shout out to Skip Bayless on Twitter during Cowboys games, man. It's the best thing on the internet. If you're not following him, follow at Skip Bayless. And then unfollow him the other 6 days of the week or whatever days the Cowboys aren't playing. Always follow him on Cowboys game day, though. He's spectacular.
I am going to say, for the record, fuck Skip Bayless. But yes, well worth the watch. Steve, if anybody disagrees with your Giants taking the NFC lease, where can they at you?
At SteveSteele23 on Twitter, where I'm laughing at Skip Bayless on game days, and at SteveSteele22 on Instagram for one more week so I can change it back to my normal name at SteveSteele23. But you can just, if you just type in SteveSteele22, you'll probably get me. Let's find out actually real quick on Instagram. I'm going to do a test drive on air because why the hell not? I can't make a typo. I'm losing it. I'm the Cowboys. Two. Yeah. Actually, there is a Steve Steele, too. He's an old guy with a Hulk Hogan mustache. I'm really happy I looked this up.
Amazing.
There's a lot of Steve Steele on Twitter. Jesus.
You could find me at Armchair Commentary, at Armchair Comment 2. It has been a fun week in sports. I can't wait to do it again next week. Thanks for listening.
And that does it for this week's episode of the Armchair Commentary. If you'd like to follow us on social media, you can find me at Armchair Common, at Armchair Common 2. Find Steve at SteveSteele23, at SteveSteele22. It won't be much longer, but you can find him there. If you're looking for merch, head over to tpublic.com, search Armchair Commentary or /armchair-commentary. T-shirts, mugs, notebooks, anything you could possibly think of. And if it's not there, let us know. We'll try to get it added. If you're enjoying this podcast or have enjoyed this podcast at any point, we would really appreciate it if you could head over to either Podchaser or Apple Podcast. Leave us a review. Let us know what you think. It really goes a long way in helping us out, and we appreciate that. And last but not least, if you are celebrating Thanksgiving, if you are celebrating Black Friday and the vast consumerism that it is, we hope that you are safe and doing well. It has been a crazy, wacky week in the world of sports. Can't wait to do it again next week. Thanks for listening. Be safe.